That's the first mistake.
Because it's not keeping me on my toes.
All right, we're going live.
Going live.
Oh, I need to move.
Oh, Minrex.
Blessed be the Lord. I'm glad you're all here. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll start with a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to be here in a special way. Amen. Jenny, would you ask God's blessing?
Father God, we just come to you tonight and this chilly night, and we're getting ready for the winter time. None of us are liking that, but
we're good. Amen, Lord.
That there are four seasons in this beautiful land that we live in. We appreciate all you've done for us through the week, Lord. We appreciate you so much, Lord. We just ask that you take the Lord to us tonight, that you open our hearts and our minds, that you might penetrate into our minds the story and the words that you must have us understand, so that we can understand and pass it on to others that we encounter over time. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your graciousness. In Jesus' name we pray.
We finished last week talking about heaven and talking about the idea that if you live in anticipation of something, it will change the way you live. That can be both negative and positive. Amen?
Amen.
How many have ever waited for somebody, whether it be at a bus stop or an airport or at home? Waited for somebody. Yeah, you concentrate on the person arriving, correct?
Yes.
Everything else seems to be minor stuff. It's that person that you're concentrating on, especially if it's one of your teenage children.
Amen.
Right, Debbie? You had four of them. And when the whole idea of mentioning that is this. We talked last week about the fact that we are people of purity. We talked about godliness and holiness. If we're waiting for he who is pure, if we're waiting, number two, with the chance we might miss him, right? If we're waiting because we really don't like it here anymore, and we'd like to get out of here, right? I mean, you meet somebody that loves it here on earth, and their spiritual life's a mess. It's just a mess. If you're anticipating the coming of a pure and holy king, without which no one will see God without holiness, correct? So there's not a chance I'm going to go in the rapture, not a chance at all that I'm going in the rapture if I don't practice holiness. Set apart, dedicated to. That's what holiness is. Set apart to God, separated from the world, and dedicated to the obedience of the Word of God. So he said, to go in the rapture, I must be a person of purity. That is chapter 5 in your book. Is it, Leah? Will you look it up for me? What's Up with Heaven is the name of it. That's where we are. Okay? So that will help you. Yeah, my wife's book is all marked up. So,
What's Up with Heaven? Yes.
Huh?
That's number 5.
Yes. So, we're not only supposed to be people of purity, but we're supposed to be people of promise. How fitting it was what Brother Eduardo preached on Sunday. The promises are for now. Yes, they're ancient. Right? Every promise in this book is ancient. There's nothing in this book that's newer than 2,000 years. Everything is older than 2,000 years. Everything was written prior to 2,000 years ago. So this is an ancient book. But everything in it is true and works for today. I was listening to a scientist. Whether he is saved or not, I have no idea. But I was listening to him. He was talking with that great orator that's on, that has his own podcast. Jordan's his last name. What's his first name?
Michael Jordan.
No. No. This guy's actually saved. Mike Jordan doesn't even get close to being saved. But he was quizzing him. And he said a couple things that really caught my attention. He said, before the Big Bang, if you were a true scientist, you had to believe that there was a greater power in operation in the world. If you didn't believe that, he said, it was because you chose not to believe it. And you chose to ignore real science in order to believe it. That's where the promises come in. We are people of promise. We need to live godly. That's live like God, right? We need to live holy, holy conduct, right? Okay? 2 Peter 3:12, we read 2 Peter 3:11 through 12. Let's read it again, the whole thing. Debbie, would you read 2 Peter, top of page 3:11 through 12, verse 14, and then 17 through 18, please.
Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.
Amen. Real problem in this day and age with the internet and how it can lead us astray, not just with vulgarity, lust, and misinformation, but when it comes to doctrine and theology, it is downright dangerous. Because it gives people with very little knowledge of the Word of God a forum where thousands and tens of thousands, maybe even millions, will have a chance to hear what they say, and what they're saying is not correct. Now, I've lived in Pentecost my whole life. It would have been impossible in the 50s and 60s for the prosperity doctrine to have gained a foothold. Because you would have to go to each individual church in order for that individual church to adopt your doctrine. But television came along. And then it was easy. If you had enough money, and of course the only way to have enough money is to preach prosperity. If you had enough money, you could propagate all kinds of error, and the prosperity doctrine was and is and always will remain an error, heresy. There's nowhere in the Bible that says, I get material goods by giving material goods. Nowhere. Yes, I'm to prosper, but I'm only to prosper in the measure that my soul prospers. That makes it a whole lot different, right? But now, we can have all kinds of doctrines, and they can be propagated via the internet, and they deceive a lot of people. The devil is an arch deceiver. That's why what Brother Sanchez said on Sunday was so important. We are people of promise. And what has to rule and reign in our life and what we believe has to be the promises of the Word of God. We sing an old chorus, remember? If Jesus said it, I'll believe it. His word, it cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Amen? That's the only way to protect ourselves. The only way. And in the 12th verse of this third chapter of 2 Peter, he says, waiting for and hastening. What does it mean if I'm waiting for? What does that mean?
Anticipating.
Anticipating, yeah. Yeah. I'm looking, right? He might come today. It's going to change the way I live. But that is different from hastening. How do I hasten the coming of the Lord? This is good. And it just popped into my brain a minute ago. And I know it wasn't the devil that said it. So what does it mean if I am to live hastening? What does hastening mean, first of all? Yeah, make come more quickly, right? So how should I live to make the coming of the Lord more quickly or quicker? Help me.
Preparing yourself.
I prepare myself, yeah. Yeah, because then there's no reason for him to worry about purifying me if I purify myself even as he is pure. Yeah, that's good. What else?
Reach out others.
Yes, that's the biggest key. Because he's not coming back until all those that he has predetermined hear the gospel. He never said accept the gospel. He said hear. Why?
Free
moral choice. God can't make me do anything. I wished he could. Do you realize how easy it would be to serve God if he could make us do it? Right? Because serving him is easy. He's already said it. My burden's light. So if he forced me to, I wouldn't have any battle with the flesh. I wouldn't have any battle with temptation. I'd have no battle with evil thoughts. It'd be so much easier. Do I make sense? See? But he doesn't. So if I preach the gospel, he said, all must hear and then the end comes. Okay? He didn't say all must accept and then the end come. He says all must hear. Other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them too must I bring. Bring them to the knowledge of the gospel, but not bring them to salvation, because I can't bring them to salvation. It is a theological fact that God cannot interfere with my free moral choice in order to accomplish his will in my life. It must be a free moral choice on my part to submit to his will. Right? Now, in marriage, we submit one to another, correct? Or at least we're supposed to. Right, Lou?
Yep.
We're supposed to. Right?
Yeah.
Right, Xiaoyang? We're supposed to. Right? Right? So we're supposed to submit to one another's will. How does it work if we try to force it? How does it work, Leah, if you try to force me to do what I don't want to do?
Well, you sit down and you think about it and find out she's right and then do it, right?
I wish. I wish.
Our persuasion.
But I can hasten God's coming by, first of all, living in obedience to his word. Then he has to invest no time in me, because I'm doing the investing. Number two, I can hasten his coming by preaching the gospel to everybody I hear. Now, thank God for my Bible, my Thompson, my Dake Bible that Xiaoyang gave me. I hit somebody over the head with that Bible, they're going to know they've been hit. Right? That's a big Bible. I have no idea how much it weighs. Huh?
They won't know because they'll be out.
Yeah. So that's not what he's talking about. The way you preach the gospel to others is very, very simple. You tell them what God has done for you. They can't relate to David. They can't relate to Moses. They can't relate to Abraham. They can't even relate to Jesus. because they're unsaved. But they can see you. They can hear you. They can know your past and your present. They can see your conduct and your example. Someone asked me, Pastor, if that's true, why don't more people witness for the Lord with what God has done for them? Anybody got any reasons? A fear of what?
Rejection.
True. Yeah, that's down the line. When you learn salesmanship, like I did selling cars, you learn, first of all, you go for the no. You get them to make one decision, whether yes or no. Not maybe, but yes or no. And number two, what did you say?
Rejection.
Yeah, number two, you study all the reasonable rejections that there are in the car business. And it's a mess of them. Because you can overcome the objections. That's what salesmanship is. But there's one that's more important for us Christians.
Exposing yourself.
Huh?
Exposing yourself or what you were.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to put myself on trial in order to ask them to look at me. This is what God's done for me. Then I can't let a bad word escape. Especially if they're present. Secondly, I can't get upset at the traffic circle if they're riding in the passenger seat beside me. Right? Because that's not godly. I can't get upset at the other drivers, and most other drivers are very stupid in my estimation. You agree? But I can't get upset with them if my conduct's like Jesus. Right? I mean, there were a lot of stupid people in Jesus' time. Amen? And they came to trying to trip him up. Why in the world you would try to trip somebody up in the first place? Remember, these people had a long history with Jesus. 18 years of history before he ever walked into the synagogue and opened the prophet Isaiah and sat down to teach. He was 12 when they first met him. He was 30, 18 years later. So they had a long history with him. They had a chance to watch him carefully. How dumb is it when you try to argue with him that he's not the Son of God? That's dumb. It's dumb. What was your career field, Debbie? What'd they call it? If you were to put on your resume, what's your career field called?
Real estate management.
Real estate management. How stupid of me to question her ability in real estate management. How many years?
30.
Say. Would anybody admit that would be real dumb of me? To even say I knew more than her? Yet they did this constantly. Listen, he said to them he came from the Father and he was returning to the Father. And then they questioned him about heaven. He knew everything about heaven. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. Their stupidity is equal to our stupidity today in some ways in our reaction and relationship with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? So we hasten his coming by obeying him, by preaching his word, and by talking it up with everybody we see. Jesus is coming. How did the early church do that? How did they greet and dismiss one another? How do you say that?
Salute.
Yeah, what was their, they greeted people a certain way and they dismissed themselves from their presence a certain way. What was it?
Maranatha.
What does that mean? Possible. He comes. He comes. So they couldn't have a conversation with somebody that they were witnessing to without proclaiming he's coming. Now, I want you to think a minute. What kind of power and authority would that give you? What does that mean? Say, Maranatha. What? Maranatha. What? What does that mean? It means Jesus is coming. What does that mean? Open the door and let me in. Right? Because if they refuse to hear you, no big problem. You've done what you're supposed to do. We need to get off the guilt trip that not everybody we witness to gets saved. Because if we don't get off that guilt trip, we'll be like my father going to Valledupar. And the road went like this. Ondulations. Little hills. At the bottom of each hill, a creek and a one-way bridge going across the creek. Whoever got there first went across it. Picked up a man in Valledupar, not in Valledupar, in Cienega. We're taking him to Valledupar. And we get to the first hill, and there's a bus on the other side. And Dad says to me, "Son, do you think I can beat him across the bridge?" The man says to me, "Is he going to race that bus?" I says, "Oh, yes. And he's going to win." He started shaking. He was scared to death. What he did not know is that the creek was dry. And we had an English Land Rover, which is almost impossible to flip. You cannot flip them, no matter how fast you're going, because they have aluminum bodies and all the steel and the heavy part, the four-wheel drive transfer case, motor, transmission, and differentials are all between the two wheels. So it's just anti-science for it to flip. And I knew that if Dad thought for a minute that he wasn't going to make it, he'd go down through the creek. 60 miles an hour, it didn't matter. Those things were tough. All the way to Valledupar, we did this. He turned white as a sheet. And he wasn't as dark as possible, but almost. He shook. And I took the opportunity to talk to him about the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he's going to meet if we should miss in going across that bridge and there'd be a head-on collision. He got gloriously saved. Was his salvation true? I don't know. More than likely not. Because when he got to Valledupar, he got down on the ground, he kissed the ground without putting his hand on the ground, and it was dirty, and he swore, crossing himself, by the Virgin Mary, by his grandmother, by his mother, that he would never get in the car again with a North American driving. But that was fun. That was so much fun. That's not what God told me to do. I can't force people to get saved. Whether he stayed saved, I don't know. I'm guessing now with the knowledge I have, probably did not, but we tell them and we hasten his coming.
That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to tell them.
Exactly.
What they decide to do.
Tell them.
And what the Spirit decides to do with them.
Yeah. Our responsibility is to tell them what?
About Jesus.
What Jesus has done for us. Don Francisco wrote an incredible song. It's wonderful. Got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. It was about the demon-possessed man, that he cast the demons out of him and sent him into a horde of pigs. And then he told the man something I've never understood. I will when I get there. Don't tell anybody. Yeah, but he said, don't tell anybody. Now, this is a man that cut himself in the graveyard, that sat naked, that chased everybody away, that they had to chain. And now he's set gloriously free. He can think correctly. He is set and clothed in his right mind. And Jesus says, don't you dare tell anybody. And he goes back to the vigil. Got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. Of course. That's what the Lord wants us. What did Jesus tell the two on the road to Emmaus that caused them to understand who he was? How he fulfilled Scripture, starting from Moses through all the prophets. Are you hearing me? He told them how he fulfilled Scripture talking from Moses through all the prophets. What they knew, he used to tell them about who he was. He didn't quote Scripture. He didn't hit them over the head with a 15-pound Bible. No, he simply told them. That's how we hasten. He says, but for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith. Oh, we need to have somebody read that. Did I put the? Yes, I did. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 and verse 10. Carolyn. I'm sorry, Caroline. Carolyn. It's not fair that there be three Carolyns and I got to call them by three different names. Got Caroline, got Caroline, who's my cousin, and got Carolyn, who's my sister-in-law. Not right. Carolyn needs to change her name to Caroline. Page 3, middle of the page. 1 Peter in the bottom of the page. 1 Peter 5 through 7 and 10.
Second Peter,
yes. Thank you.
Yeah. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail.
Oh, isn't that good? Isn't that good? Never fail. How many have failed lately? Don't raise your hand. Right? Now, who does he say here is going to... Do you have the scriptures, Bonnie?
Oh, don't worry about it. I'm just going to listen. I came late. I apologize.
No, I've got the scriptures right here. I want you to have them. I'll come down there and give them to you. I may look old. I may act old.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. How's Jack?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you may.
So you were saying, you know, the guy that we were just talking about and how he was, and Jesus said, don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Do you think that there are instances, there are things that have happened to you in your life
yeah.
that are so unbelievable,
yeah.
so personal,
yeah.
so
yeah.
yours,
yeah.
that you're not supposed to talk about them?
That's right. There's a classic example in the Word of God, Joseph. God never told Joseph to share his dreams with the with his brothers. That was a gigantic mistake he made. And remember what Joseph said. He realized that at the end. Because in the last chapter of the book of Genesis, he tells him why. What you meant for harm, God meant for good. So God took my stupidity in sharing my dreams with you, which I should have never done. See? In all other instances, he shared the dreams because he was asked to share the dreams. His brothers never asked him. There was a little measure of pride in there. You're going to bow down before me. Oh, there was a huge hierarchy in ancient Israel. Huge. The firstborn, Reuben, he's the one that gets all the blessing. So there was a lot of jostling. That's why it was so bad for Esau to sell his birthright to Jacob. You didn't do that. That was God's blessing. God's blessing. So, yeah, there are instances where God never intended for you to share. And then there will be instances where God may indicate to you, share that. This is the time to share it. But it best be God. Okay? Because any of my sharing should never be for self-aggrandizing. Can we say that again? Everybody agree with that? Everything I say should not be to exalt me. It should be to exalt
Jesus.
This is what God has done for me. And they'll ask you, what did you do? I did nothing. All I did was perfect. All I did was accept him as my personal savior. All I did was read his word and attend church. All I did was obey what I found in there, and this is what God did for me. So you're mentioning simple, easy things to do. How hard is it to ask God to forgive us of our sins? Anybody ever found that to be traumatic? That's simple, isn't it? How many of us have found it real, real tough to go to church? Well, it might be here because of the pastor. But most churches, it's fun to go to church. I have a blast going to church. And Lee and I go even when we're on vacation, don't we? Oh, yeah. We never miss it. We went up to camp in Island Falls, and we went to church Sunday morning. Why? Because I love going to... Jesus might come to that service, and I might miss him. How would you feel if the service went all day long and you're waiting for somebody you love that you knew went to New Life, but they're not coming home? So you decide to go and stick your head in the door, and everybody's worshiping and praising God and running around here and dancing in the Holy Ghost and slain in the Spirit. And you say, what happened? Jesus came in a bodily form, and we're excited. How would you feel? I know how I would feel. I'm never going to miss another service as long as I live. I can be sick and I'm going to drag myself to church. See? So that's what he meant for us to do. And he says here very plainly, look what he says. For this reason, what reason? The coming of the Lord. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. He doesn't tell us to allow the Holy Ghost to supplement our faith. How do you get faith? Exactly. By hearing, and hearing by? The Word of God. You can pray and fast till you're blue in the faith, and you'll never get faith. Faith comes one way, and one way only. By hearing? That's why church is so important. Why do you think the devil battles everybody going to church so hard? In the last few Sundays, we've almost had more people absent than we have had present. And the services weren't that bad. Were they, Jenny?
Nope.
You were here Sunday. It wasn't that bad.
It was excellent.
No?
I really enjoyed it.
You've been here, Debbie, every service. It wasn't that bad, right? Okay, so then what's the reason for not going? The devil doesn't want you there because you're going to add to your faith by hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
And by adding to your faith, you're going to get virtue. And boy, don't I need virtue. Amen?
Amen.
How about you? I told you what my father said. You need virtue and purity, because virtue is just like purity. He said, you don't look at that woman that's only half dressed twice, because the second look is a sin. And just like that, I said, I'll just prolong the first one. He didn't think it was funny. And he cuffed me, because he didn't think it was funny at all. But I add to that faith virtue, and virtue, knowledge. We preached two Sundays ago. How many remember? Amen? If we live a holy life, what we get is we get knowledge from God. Oh, that's wonderful. I love knowledge. How many like knowledge? It's good to know the path you should walk. Right? It's wonderful to know. And to your knowledge, you add what?
Self-control.
Can I submit to you that maybe if you haven't added the beforehand, you're probably not going to get this? How many struggle with self-control the way I do? It's tough. Self-control is tough in every way, shape, and form. But it's probably the one thing that will surprise others about your walking with the Lord. I told you the story when I worked in Medway at Tilcon Incorporated's gravel pit. And I went back after I had taken the church in Bucksport. And the foreman came running. I didn't even have a chance to get out of my car. He came running out and said, are you coming back? I said, no, I'm not coming back. Why do you want me to come back? You made fun of me all the time. He says, yes, but there was a peace And there was an atmosphere here when you were here that we haven't had since. Please come back. I said, I can't. He said, give you more money. Well, we were getting 100 a week at the church. Would it have been difficult to give me more than 100 a week? That wasn't much. See? And to your godliness, brotherly affection. To your self-control, steadfastness. What's steadfastness?
Endurance.
Huh?
Patience, endurance.
Yeah, and? And?
Unwavering.
Stability, right? Unwavering. What did James say about those that are tossed to and fro?
Double-minded.
Yeah, they're double-minded. They're no good. Right? We need to be persuaded. Someone said to me one time, you know what your problem is? You just think that what you believe is true. That's your problem. And I says, hallelujah. They didn't like that. They went away mad. I'm not supposed to have in doubt what I believe about the Word of God. I need to be forceful, opinionated. Not to the point of being disrespectful. No. No. To the point of being persuasive. Amen? How many of you say to a friend, do you know a good restaurant to eat? And they say, well, let me think. This one, no, I don't know. No, that one? No, maybe not. This one? No, I don't think so. How many of you know that that person is real persuasive and real steadfast in, huh? Mike tells me, I found a new restaurant pastor. I got to get him off that. He calls me pastor all the time. And I got to get him calling me Bill. He says, I'm not into titles. I don't care about titles. But he says, that was a great restaurant. Go to it. And then when it ceases to be great, thank God, he tells me that too. See? And he's persuasive because he's not wishy-washy. How many have met a wishy-washy person? Oh, they're fun to be around, aren't they?
No.
Yeah, you believe everything they say, right, Bonnie?
No.
Well, yeah, you say, boy, that's a wise person right there. No. No. Steadfastness, and your steadfastness, godliness. Can I submit to you, if you add all these, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, that you'll get just a little bit of godliness? And won't that be good? And your godliness, brotherly affection. And he leaves that to last. Why?
Because you can't have that without the others.
Yeah, but that's not what I want. Sorry, Jenny.
It's okay.
The greatest is love.
Yeah, why?
Because God is
love. Yeah, why? We're a body. You can't stick together with the body of Christ unless you love. Right? If you don't love, it's going to cause you to say things and do things against that brother that you shouldn't do. And God, just go through the Word of God next time you're reading and make a note of all the scriptures that say how we're supposed to treat one another within the body of Christ. So if I get this, oh, hallelujah, won't that be a lot easier? See? And if you have all these things and practice these qualities, I love what he says. How many would like to never, ever, ever fail? How many would like to get to the place where you're criticized because you never make a mistake and you love that criticism? Now, you don't flaunt it like I do. You simply love it. In yourself. Maybe to your wife. You know, I'm always right, honey. Nah, you were wrong then. And then they start pointing out. And that can be discouraging. See? I like that. I didn't even have that in the notes. Right? That's how I hasten, because the key word to all this is anticipation. Right? Anticipation. What's that song that... The blind man made famous, and so did Elvis. Does it talk about anticipation or something similar?
No, it was not.
Yeah? Yeah. And so it is key to let anticipation govern what I'm doing. Why? It will change the way I live. Now, I don't think any of you can remember when you were young, a teenager, and maybe preteen. How many remember that? That was a long time ago, right? I remember. And you had done something wrong. You're running to the window every time you turned around. Especially if what you had done wrong caused some kind of mess in the house. Why did you waste time running to the window?
Waiting for Dad to come
home. You wanted to anticipate his coming, right? You needed to anticipate his coming. You wanted everything just right. In my case, it's my wife. Anticipation. Got to have everything ready. Amen. We have an inborn psychological need to look forward. How many have seen that? Yes, Xiao Yang.
So, does he have to be in that order? Like, does he like run it so that like he has to come like faith first and virtue? And
yes.
The order cannot like switch around.
No.
I would think that like you would have faith and knowledge and then come your virtue.
Well, no, you get faith. Every one of us has faith. You get a measure of faith.
Knowledge and then that.
But you.
Knowledge and then you have your virtue.
You're not going to add to that faith unless you hear the word of God, because that's how you add to it. So that is primary. None of the rest of these can work without a measure and a lot of faith.
Yeah. It goes first, but I was wondering, like, what about virtue and knowledge?
Let's look at this. You tell me how faith is going to help me be more virtuous. Think logically. Think right down here on earth where we live, not up in the clouds.
Well, faith, I think, itself will already like make you be virtuous, because you want to like you believe that you are a child of God, and you are supposed to. The word of God tells you that you are supposed to be imitator of God.
Okay, well, let's.
So that will give you. Then you should have virtue.
Let's call faith a synonym. What's a synonym for faith?
Trust and obedience.
No. What is it? Somebody said it over here.
Believe.
Can you do anything, Xiao Yang, if you don't believe what God has said?
No. You have no faith in what you're saying.
Yeah. You can't do anything. That's why that's got to be first.
Yeah.
Eve's problem was she heard God, but when Satan said that what God said was not believable, she swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. Had she believed what God said, the moment that you eat of that tree, you will die. Had she believed that, because she didn't know what death was.
If you're using that example, what would be the virtuous that she would have done next?
Yeah, exactly right.
No, what is it? It's a question. It's not.
Oh, a question. You're going to have to believe before you can ever have virtue. What is virtue?
What would have been the virtue if she would have believed?
Wouldn't have been any need for virtue. It's useless. There's no need for it. Huh?
And you can go on to knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. You see how they dovetail together, Xiao Yang? Mm-hmm. You don't see how they dovetail together?
I can understand faith goes first, but like virtue and knowledge.
You don't understand how virtue goes. Well, what?
Can't you switch knowledge and virtue?
No. What happens to my knowledge and what you think of my knowledge if my life isn't virtuous?
Wouldn't give two cents for
it. Exactly right. So if my life isn't virtuous, if I don't live a holy, godly life like we discussed last week, the knowledge I have of is of no significance between you and me. Right? What you folks say about me all the time. Pastor, you know so much about the Word of God. It causes you to believe what I say. But if my life was not holy, and let's take something common. If my language was vulgar all the time, if I came out with these nice four-letter words all the time, what would you think about my believing and my faith?
Yeah, but I wouldn't think your knowledge of God is the actual not Word of God.
It is.
Because knowledge here is talking about Word of God, and understanding of Word of God.
Yeah.
My understanding does not depend on how you live your
life. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But how you imitate me or how you believe what I say is affected by the way I live. Correct?
Yes. Yeah, but that doesn't change my understanding of who God is and what His Word says.
It can.
Sure.
It can. We had a church in Groton, north of Groton, Connecticut, where the pastor stood in the pulpit and taught his people that he had been called of God to service all the wives of the Navy personnel that were out on the subs sexually. He said that. He said God told him. Okay, what does your knowledge about the Word of God say about that?
That's wrong.
Xiao Yang.
That is wrong?
Yes! Yes, because he's committing what?
Adultery.
And he's supposed to be the man of God. It all dovetails together. My faith is of no value, he's saying here, unless I have virtue. My virtue is my knowledge is of no value unless I have virtue.
Yeah.
And then you've got to couple with the fact, Xiao Yang, that God's not going to share his knowledge with a non-virtuous person. Period. So I don't get any knowledge unless I'm virtuous. Now, does that make sense?
Well, then, why is it that you don't say supplement your faith with godliness? Then I would think that godliness will go first before anything else.
Because virtue
is different from godliness.
Yeah. So
virtue is what godliness creates in me.
But it doesn't have to be. It's not like it's a
hard, fast.
15-year process.
Yeah,
it could be a 3-minute process.
Yes.
It could be a second process.
Yes.
It all goes together.
Yes. Yes.
It's not something that, you grow over time.
I don't know why.
Once.
I don't know why the Apostle Paul put him in the Apostle Peter put him in this order. But I know the Apostle Peter well enough to know that his reason is valid. Because remember, he's not saying what he wants to say, Xiao Yang. What is he saying? What God tells him.
Is there logic in putting in this order?
Boy.
All he said, all those attributes are necessary.
I want to be right beside you when your body's glorified. Lord, you hear me. Let me go up right beside Xiao Yang, please.
I thought you were doing with Peter. You going to put him on the other side?
No, Peter I'm going to meet on the way up and tell him I told you so. No. But Xiao Yang in an instant of time is going to know the answers to all this.
Yeah.
And she's going to look at me and say, whoa!
I get it.
I get it now. And this verse teaches very, very succinctly, Xiao Yang, that as you grow in the Lord, you know more about the Lord. So don't worry about knowing it all now. It's not important. When you need that knowledge, you'll have that knowledge.
Amen.
When you need that virtue, you have that virtue.
Amen. Yep.
Have any of you ever got angry? It rose up inside of you, and all of a sudden you said, can't do this, and you stopped it right there and then. Has that ever happened to anybody?
Yep.
What is that?
Self
That's the Holy Ghost. That's the virtue by believing in the faith that has stopped that. See? Yes, Dubani.
If you don't have that Holy Spirit saying that, does that mean someone isn't saved?
No, you have the Holy Ghost when you get saved.
But if you don't stop yourself?
No, because even the most mature Christian doesn't stop himself at times. Right?
Christianity doesn't make you superhuman.
No, you've had situations where you didn't stop yourself. Right? Because you've told me.
Yes.
It's a struggle. Yeah. It's a struggle, but what Peter's saying is I can show you a better way. I can make this easier for you. Listen to the Word of God. Pay attention to the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. That's going to help you have more virtue. And virtue is what the Word of God and the Holy Ghost puts in my life.
And how does that fit in with where Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit?
That fits in very well. You don't know them by their conduct. You don't know them by their gifts. You know them by their fruit. Fruit is conduct. It's what you do. How do you know that an orange tree is an orange tree? You pick oranges. Any of you expect to go out here in upstate New York and pick an apple and have it be an orange? Why? Why don't we pray over the tree? Let's anoint it with oil. Right? Let's cast that demon of apples out of it. And let's command oranges to come. See, my faith tells me that's an effort in futility. It's not going to happen. By their fruits, you will know them. See, how many times does he say, by this you shall know that they're my disciples?
That they love one another.
And they keep my commandments. That's why love comes in last. But let me help you with this, Xiao Yang. You really can't separate any of it. And even though Peter puts it in stair steps, it's not actually stair steps.
Yeah, because it sounded to me like the fruit of the Spirit.
It is. It is the fruit of the Spirit.
That he described here. It's like a...
What's temperance?
Self-control.
Yeah, self-control. Yeah. Love. Hope. Faith. See? I love what he's been. I love the last four words. I'm not going to get hung up, Xiao Yang, on the first many words. No. I'm going to stand on the last four. You will never fail. That's enough to make a Baptist run and shout. You'll never fall. You'll never fail. What?
Oh, is brotherly affection different from love?
No, except it's love that's pointed towards your brother, not love that's pointed towards your enemy. Okay? There is a difference. He tells us to love one another, right? And then he tells us to love our enemies as ourselves. Okay? So there's a difference. Yes, Lou?
No, I was going to say, faith is, it can grow. Everyone may not have the same
amount.
Yeah.
But he has said that he's given every one of us a measure of faith. Who determined that measure? He did. But then he tells us how to make that measure grow. By hearing the word. See? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why it's so important. My stepfather-in-law couldn't read and write. So we bought him the Word of God on cassette tapes. And he listened to the Word of God. Because he went to church every single time the door was open, even when it wasn't, he knew a lot about the Word of God. And he could quote it. And he couldn't read or write. Had a boy in our church that came and got gloriously saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he was blind. We prayed and prayed and prayed for him, and God never set him free. He asked the Lord one day to teach him the Psalms. And one day I'm hearing him, and he's rattling off the Psalms in perfect Reina Valera, that's like King James, in Spanish. And I said to him, Antonio, how do you do that? He says, God taught me. So you got to understand the value of the Word of God, right? If God takes the time to teach a blind man and an illiterate man the Word of God, they making an effort. Antonio wanted me to read the Bible to him every single chance I had. And at first, it just jarred me the wrong way. Gotta waste my time. Well, look, God, why don't you heal him? Blame God, right? Then I started doing it. I said, this is cool. I'm learning a lot here too. And when I couldn't do it, I passed it off on Omar. When he couldn't do it, he passed it off on Paul. When Paul couldn't do it, he passed it off on Isaiah. And we kept pumping him with the Word of God. Man, what a difference. What a difference. Anything else? Got to stop there. I didn't get very far. I apologize in sackcloth and ashes.
I had an old pastor that used to say, if you're going to talk, you better walk the walk.
Exactly right. That does more damage to the Church of Jesus Christ is Christians saying something and doing something else. And the ones that are more guilty are pastors. And people criticize me when I say, oh yeah, but you're judging them. No, the Bible says, if you cause the least of these to stumble, go ahead and tie a millstone around your neck and jump off a cliff. You've been to the cliffs in England. Jump right off there down to the bottom and kill yourself. What God is saying is better for you to be dead than for you to be damaging one of these little ones. And they don't think about that when all they can think about is the money they're going to put in their coffer and the next jet they're going to buy. I would to God that Elon Musk would come here one Sunday morning and say to me, he said, Pastor, I felt of God to give you $10 million. Here it is. Well, Caroline would do a Pentecostal two-step because a million of it belongs to the church. And probably more. But I don't anticipate that happening. I anticipate God using me with what he's given me because it's his business, it's not mine. What I have is his business. What you have is his business.
Always supplies.
Someone gave me an offering, left it on my desk. I don't know who it was. And I said to the Lord, I said, I'm going to browbeat the people until they tell me. And God said, don't you dare. I said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand does. That's the reason we have the box in the box, in the back. I don't want anybody knowing what I put in that box, and I don't want anybody knowing what you put in that box. Have you ever been in church in a bad moment in your financial life, and they passed the plate and you couldn't put anything in it? God always puts the person on your right putting a 20, and the person on your left putting a 20 in, and you put nothing in. God always does that to me. And you feel about this high because you couldn't put anything in. I vowed right then when I was a teenager, that's never going to happen in a church I pastor. Because people are going to be able to put their offering in and nobody know what they put in. The only person here that knows is Caroline. And she's not talking. Because the minute she does, I'll fire her. I don't even know. Right? I refuse to know. I was discussing it with Leah. It's no brownie button that I deserve. But when we went into the ministry, we decided finances would never be a cornerstone of what we did for God.
Absolutely not.
And we have never asked a church for a raise in our entire life. I've asked them for an advance when I got in trouble, but I've never asked them for a raise. Why? My life, your life, has to radiate and reflect Jesus' life, and I don't see him ever going around asking people for money. I see him taking care of a need for money. Go down, you'll see a fish. Grab it, shake it real good, and you're going to get some coins out of it. Go pay our taxes. Right? Give me a coin. They give them a coin. Whose image is on it?
Caesar.
Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and God what belongs to God. Come here, let me give you an illustration. Takes them to the temple. They got a box like that one. And the scribes and the Pharisees come in. And they love to put the coins in. I bet they went to the bank and got all coins. And they put them in like this. Ping, 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 ping. Ping, 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 ping. They wanted everybody to know what they were doing. And a little lady comes in. Glory to God. She gives all she has. Two little pences. And Jesus himself says, I want you to understand, she gave more than everybody else put together. Why? She gave all she had.
Matter of the heart.
What's the moral of the story? What's in here needs to govern what comes out of here.
That's right.
See? And you can always know. What do the experts say? You'll know a person's priority by what they spend their money on. Right? Some of us are going to go home and sell what we have. All right. We need to look to the Lord in prayer. Any other questions? All right. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. We got some new prayer requests.